presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of
Comic Dorks!
Many lives would have been lost if Captain America hadn't appeared.
Thrilling adventure and tense excitement, pounding action and spine-tingling mystery.
Everybody, welcome back to Comic Dorks. This edition is in August. It's August 26th, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson with Steven Schleicher from Major Spoilers.
Oh, hello there, Scott.
Hey, man. It's good to see you and have you here and putting our heads together once more in the world of comics. I love doing it.
Oh, yeah. August has been a crazy month in more than one way.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it all in this month's show.
Yeah, it's crazy how much stuff went down, and we'll get to all of it here in a second. Reminder to folks, if you're like, hey, wait a minute, the show's back on the air. Yes, it has been for a few months now. You can go back and check out the archives at comicdorks.com. Send us your feedback at comicdorks@gmail.com. Let's get into it. So Marvel just did their D20, and that is to say Disney Marvel did their D20
right.
event.
Yeah, yeah, D23, yeah.
Their D23, I keep saying D20. I don't know why I do that, because it's
it's
a die.
It's Dungeons & Dragons, yeah.
Right, when you're playing D&D, it's all you can hear or see, but... they announced a bunch of stuff, and a lot of it is kind of a big deal. I guess we can kind of hit the major stuff. We talked a bit on TMS today about Moon Knight getting television series treatment,
mm-hmm.
and you making the comment that, hey, Disney has already said anything on the Disney Plus service will be PG-13 or lower, meaning,
right.
you know, no R-rated content. You can get away with a lot of violence or implied violence with PG-13. Maybe one or two F-bombs. I don't know how that works anymore. If they're being
You can really get away with like one bad word.
Yeah,
you can get away with, you know, in the case of Blood and Guts, John Carter of Mars, or the John Carter of Mars movie was rated PG-13, even though John Carter is eviscerating aliens left and right.
Yeah.
And the justification from the MPAA was, oh well, it's alien blood, it's fake blood.
Oh, yeah.
But Moon Knight, you know, he's kind of like Batman turned up to 12. And things can get a little violent at times with Moon Knight.
And aren't we on the tail end? Not tail end, but we're on the other side of a proper reboot of that character recently, or recent-ish, right?
Like
we're
of Moon Knight, yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, you can basically reboot, and this does happen quite a bit with Marvel, is they don't reboot, but they kind of tell fresh stories every 6 months or so with their characters. And it's been a while for Moon Knight. I mean, they don't do a total universe reboot, but I think we're going to see a whole different Mark Spector. Isn't that his name, Mark Spector?
Mark Spector, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a whole new Mark Spector in this series, just much like we saw with Daredevil.
Mm.
I think we're going to see kind of a whole different perspective on this character. And what's great about it is Disney/Marvel Studios can do anything they want with Moon Knight because nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I read Moon Knight when I was younger. It's probably late high school when I first discovered it, and I loved it. I thought it was great. I didn't even know what to compare it to. In my mind, he wasn't really like Batman. He was like this whole other thing. Mm-hmm. But I think as I've gotten older, and certainly the more recent stuff definitely aims more into the, you know, Batman-ish era with, and like you mm-hmm. said, cranked up to 10. But I don't think this is not a commonly known, you know, more people know who Hawkman is than know who this is. More people know who Martian right. Manhunter is than know who this is. This is a very sort of buried in time Marvel character that a lot of people don't know about. A few of us maybe picked it up back in the day. It has his fans for sure, and I think they're really stoked about this. Mm-hmm. I guess I just don't know what tone to expect, because the old stuff was just, oh, dude in a white suit solving crime.
And somewhat supernatural and that kind of stuff too, yeah.
Right. So I don't know. I have high hopes.
Here's what I'm going to predict. This is going to be everyone's answer to why isn't Daredevil at Marvel Studios and Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be that kind of situations, those kind of action sequences, those kinds of dark and gritty. I essentially think that if you can't do Daredevil at Marvel at Disney Plus, then Moon Knight is probably your next best option.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And you're not going to see, I'm trying to think of another, like a really weird Marvel character. I mean, no one's going to do a MODOK series unless they do some wacky animated thing or
true,
you know, something goofy like that. It just seems like Moon Knight was going to forever be a third tier character. But here's the thing we've learned about Marvel over the years. they've been able to successfully take the stuff they had left after selling off rights to Spider-Man and X-Men, their two flagship properties. And they have Fantastic Four. I forgot. Those three huge flagship properties are in the hands of other people because that they needed money at the time. And Marvel, once the Disney thing happened and the MCU starts and all that other stuff goes down, they're left with, all right, well, what do we have? Well, I guess Avengers are okay, but they were always second tier. And, you know, Captain America's all right, but Iron Man was never, he was always sort of B character and all of this. And they turned all of those things, Thor, Guardians, it's insane how they turned that stuff around. So maybe this is a chance for Moon Knight, you know?
I think that's kind of the big thing. When Disney finally decided to buy Marvel, they'd already had the Iron Man movie out. They were already setting up the Avengers initiative and everything that was going on there. And when the sale was going through, I know that there were a lot of people out there saying, yeah, but you guys don't have Fantastic Four, Spider-Man. You don't have, you know, any of these cool ones. And Disney did come out and say, the reason why we're buying Marvel is because of their vast library of characters. Mm-hmm. And Moon Knight is again, one of those characters, Misty Knight and Iron Fist and, you know, Luke Cage, all those characters, so many people don't know anything about, but Disney and Marvel Studios is making those things happen.
Yeah, it's crazy. I still point to Guardians and remind people that that should not have worked. That should have been
a
terrible idea. It should have been the worst possible plan for a cinematic addition to the universe. It just should have not worked, and it did. Mm-hmm. And it not only did it, it became, for a lot of people, their favorite MCU moment of the entire run, of all of it. And I think I may even be one of those people. So, you know, I have faith in their storytelling. I have faith in them taking a character like Moon Knight and putting it in places that I want it to be in. This is obviously TV and not a film, but they're also, I mean, they're so going for it with other actors and casting in comic book and Star Wars related things on Disney Plus as a service that makes me think they're, you know, sky's the limit. This isn't going to feel cheap. At least I hope not.
I mean, you know, we don't know anything about Moon Knight. We don't know anything about She-Hulk. We don't know anything about Ms. Marvel, the three other shows that they've announced in addition to Winter Soldier and Captain America and Loki and WandaVision. We know nothing about these shows except that Marvel Studios is there. Kevin Feige or Feige is there. Disney is backing this 100%. And we've seen the trailer for The Mandalorian. And if The Mandalorian is any indication of what the rest of these shows are going to be like, I think we're going to be in really good hands.
Yeah, that looks like a proper Star Wars series. I'm so excited about it. That looks really good. So, yeah, I mean, they're flying high on their reputation. They've not really let too many people down too much. The service is going to come out at an extremely low price compared to its competition. And I really don't see how they're going to screw this up. They would have to really, these shows would have to be just terrible for this to happen. But boy, you see this ship sailing in. There's no wonder why the DC channel and all that other Warner Brothers stuff just sort of pulled the plug and just went, oh, you guys, we got to reset. We got to come up with a better plan. We can't just, you know, there's no way we're going to be able to afford to keep making Swamp Thing when something like Disney Plus and its myriad of Marvel properties are going to be there for people. It just must be scary.
Swamp Thing's a little complicated though, because, you know, depending on the stories that you hear, is that South Carolina or wherever they were shooting that had promised Warner Brothers a huge discount. And then suddenly the state was like, oh no, we can't give you those tax breaks. And so that ended up skyrocketing what Swamp Thing was like. And so they had to make the decision to cancel it, because there's no way they could have stored those sets. There's no way they could have continued production with the money that they lost in those tax breaks that the state was promising.
Sure. Yeah, that one, you're right. That one is a little bit complicated. But there is this sense overall, despite Doom Patrol doing pretty well with fans and things like that, that they're just looking at this giant monolithic mountain called Disney. And it's really hard to compete, you know.
It really is. And I mean, we only have to look at what happened to sci-fi in this last month, where at the San Diego Comic-Con, it looked like season 3 of Krypton was a go. It looked like they were going to spin off and create a Lobo series over at sci-fi. And then all of a sudden, they just yanked the plug. And they said, nope, no season 3, no Lobo.
Do you have any idea why? Do you think it's part of this? Or do you think it's just, I mean, was the the audience just wasn't there? Like, what do we know about that?
No, I don't think the audience wasn't there, because the first season, people, when Krypton was first announced, and it was like, oh no, it's time travel, and it's Superman's grandfather, and Adam Strange, and all these other characters are going to be making appearances. People were like, I don't know anything about this show. It sounds like a real turd on launch. And first season was really, really good. Now, season two, a lot of people said it kind of slowed down a little bit, but what was happening for season three looked very, very promising. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it is lack of audience, but you know, we talk a lot about the Fox Disney merger. Yeah. We talk a lot about what's going on between Sony and Disney right now with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people don't remember is that AT&T bought Warner Brothers.
Right.
And I think there's some bean counters at AT&T that are looking for ways of either making as much money as they can or cutting loose the things that are not being profitable. And we have this great Disney or a great DC streaming service. I think they're going to start bringing that all back in house and create a Warner Brothers streaming service. We know that it's coming, but I think we're going to see all this stuff moved around. And according to insiders, this is from variety.com. According to an individual with knowledge of the situation, Warner Horizon Television plans to shop the series to other outlets. My guess is their own streaming service.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Netflix or somebody pick it up, but, you know, Prime picked up, what's it called? My brain. The sci-fi show everyone loves. I can't think of it. I love it too.
Oh, the one that you love.
The Expanse. The Expanse.
Yeah, The Expanse.
Yeah, you don't like The Expanse, do you?
Every time I try to get into it, I just about six episodes in, I'm just like, this isn't exciting at all.
Oh, I love that show. Well, I love the books, so I feel like I'm one of those guys that like is into it no matter what, because the books are beloved by me and those who read them. But yeah, the idea or my point being like, well, you know, if Prime can pick that up, somebody can pick up Krypton. Yeah. But it's screwy, right? Because, you know, it's a DC property. It's a Warner property. Warner wants to push their service. And I'm actually very curious about a Warner service. I do want to see what that looks like.
I think so, too. And when you think about it, OK, so where is Warner Brothers? Where could they shop any of these shows or any of the shows that they're currently producing or pulling the plug on? Mm-hmm. Where could they shop those shows? Mm-hmm. Well, they could go to Netflix, but Netflix is going to be competing directly against the Warner streaming service. So that's probably not the best idea. Right. They can't go to Hulu because Hulu is owned by Disney. So that only leaves Amazon Prime. That might be a possibility. And again, this is all rumor stuff, but I really don't like talking about rumors and people know that, but rumor is AT&T is looking to cut DC completely out and maybe just license the characters to whoever. Mm-hmm. There's also an indicator that maybe Amazon might be interested in buying DC. And again, this is like super like crazy rumor territory.
Sure.
But Amazon also owns Comixology.
Yeah, I was going to say they have other reasons to.
So there may be a reason why they could shop a Krypton series to Amazon if they're wanting to try to test those markets and see if this would be a good sale in the future.
And I could see Prime trying to bolster its content and say, oh, you like that Disney Plus, do you? Well, we also have deals with HBO and Showtime and a million other channels, not including ours. Plus, you're getting this if you're just getting Prime. Like, they have some advantages. And if they got the content to go with that, like big Warner stuff, that could be crazy. That could be good competition because it's already there. It's already established. You don't have to start from nothing. Yep. So anyway, we'll have to see. The Boys came and went. It's still there. But The Boys, speaking of Amazon Prime, came out on Amazon Prime. The entire series, bingeable immediately. I want to say, a month ago? It was about where we're at.
It was in August, I want to say, is when it came out. It was early August. 4 weeks ago. So right around the same time as we did our last episode.
So I was unsure how I was going to feel about it. That author makes stuff that I'm mixed on, right? In fact, I remember talking to you, maybe even on Comic Dorks, way back in the day, about the original run of The Boys in comic form. And you didn't like it for the same reason I don't always like his work, Preacher and some other things. Because they tend to sometimes go so hardcore that they lose track of why I want to read comics. Like he wants to get so political, so anti-establishment, so anarchistic. Is that a word? Anarchistic? Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to get that way so quickly in his books that sometimes they push me away. I never did read The Boys but partly for that reason. I remember people saying,
it's just sex and violence and it's hardcore all the way. It makes no apologies for how hardcore it is. I always say that The Boys is a superhero story turned up to 12.
Right. And I remember you saying this, and I remember thinking, well, if Steven doesn't like it, I'm probably just going to avoid this.
The first volume was fine, and I just kind of lost interest in it because they go into some dark places in that book. Yeah. And so when the Boys television series was announced, I was like, I don't know, this is going to be, I'd like for these some very important moments from the books to be in the show. But if they do that, oh gosh, that's going to be a horrible show. It's going to be worse than, it's just going to be the darkest of darks. Mm-hmm. And the Boys TV series is not that. It's like they dialed it back down to 9.
Yeah.
It still gave you some of the violence, still gave you some of the weird, creepy situations and some of the darkness to it. But at the same time, they are going political. They are eviscerating everything from religion to big corporations and everything, but they do it in a way that's super engaging. And I found myself binging the entire season in one weekend. And that's something that I normally don't do.
Same. I did the same thing. I normally can't do that. I just don't have time for that. But I found it to be so compelling. I also weirdly think, despite all of its dark tendencies, it's got actual heart. Like there's mm-hmm. some heart in there. That makes a huge difference for me. There's characters I actually care about. Whereas I would say
Huey and Starlight are really, really good as mm-hmm. far as, characters trapped between two worlds in what is right and what is perceived and what they should do and what they shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. I think they have some very good messages. They make us want to know more about these characters. Yep. And I've got to say, Anthony Starr, who plays Homelander.
Oh, I just want to kill Homelander so bad.
Oh my gosh. This is some of the, if this guy doesn't win an Emmy or doesn't win an award for his acting, he is robbed, because he has the ability to go from, and this is what I find so fascinating, is, Homelander is the worst person in the world mm-hmm. in this universe, mm-hmm. right? He's willing to let a plane full of people die mm-hmm. just to protect himself.
Yeah.
And yet he can go from this super likable, oh, this is what Superman is always like, to sociopath in a blink of an eye. Oh, and it is incredible how he as an actor is able to turn that switch on and off. And even when I'm watching this, and in one minute you see him just like doing something horrible, 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 and then the next minute he's shaking hands and a big smile and how you doing? And I'm like, oh yeah, this guy is kind of nice. And I'm like, no, it's the Homelander. He's evil.
Yeah, no, he's doing it to you in real time. And that's really says something for a show that is supposed to be painting him in such an awful way. We're supposed to mm-hmm. learn to hate him pretty quickly, yet there's things to like about him at one moment, and the very next moment his face will change and you're like, oh my gosh, he is really, really good, that dude. He is killing it with that character. I've never been more angry at a character on TV. Not maybe for a long time. I haven't been this mad. I think the most mad I ever got was like, man, maybe somebody on Breaking Bad or something, but just really Homelander got under my skin in a serious way. But I also think the Boys, the actual Boys, the mm-hmm. the group of anti-heroes, they're great. I think Carl Urban is great in this role. I think the dude that plays Frenchie is incredible. I think it's just a great cast and all the right things from the comic and Garth Ennis's twisted brain, but just enough for me to care about that it balances out somehow. And it's sometimes shocking, sometimes heartfelt, sometimes hideous, sometimes really thought-provoking. Oh my gosh, freaking what's the Aquaman guy? I forgot his name.
The Deep.
Oh my gosh, The Deep. Like
there is a moment with a dolphin in this show that I'm sitting there going, "Oh no, they're not going to do this. Oh my god. Oh my god." And then at the same time you're also laughing because it's so horrible what happens.
Yeah, it's horrendous. There's another scene. Really? There's another scene with the show has a kind of a Wolverine archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And she does something very unfortunate to a dude who's her landlord. I'll just put it. I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah.
But man, like, you guys went there, like, woo. They do that. They are perfectly willing to shock you. And it is mm-hmm. shocking. But you come away going, this is really good. Like, this is, I cannot wait for season 2. I really,
yeah,
like
this it. This is not for the kids, unless your kids are into depraved sex acts and uber violence. I mean, they literally blow somebody up.
Yeah. It's a Garth Ennis joint, everybody. Just be reminded. Yeah. If you don't know who Garth Ennis is, go look him up and you'll be, shocked and all.
I say that this series is worth watching. And then a lot of people might be going, I don't know if this is for me. Watch the first episode. Okay. If you are not wanting to watch the next episode after the first, then walk away and that's completely fine. If you're still on the fence, go to episode 3. And if by the end of episode 3, you're still not completely sold, then don't bother watching the rest of the series. My favorite episode is I think it's episode 5. But this is a good, solid series. It's a good story. People may not like the fact that why do heroes have to be grim, dark and horrible people. I think there's something in this story, and the way they did the cliffhanger for this first season really had me shocked. They are in production of season 2 already. So I think Amazon has a hit on their hands on this.
Yeah, it's something else. And it did, as best I can tell, it did really well for them. Mm-hmm. They seem to know that, and season 2 has already been lit. So they're already filming. You see Carl Urban put
they're already filming. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe even done by now, but yeah, they could really disappoint us with the season 2. Maybe I should be more nervous. I don't know, but it's pretty magical. And also, once you know that Meg Ryan and can't think of his name all of a sudden, Dennis Quaid, that's his son, is the main character, basically the main character, the sort of, you know, relatable.
Oh, wee Huey.
Yeah, Huey. Well, when you realize that that's their kid, you won't be able to unsee it.
Oh, no, now I can't. Yeah. So here's an interesting bit for people who are not familiar with The Boys. In The Boys, Garth Ennis and the artist, who I forget who the artist is off the top of my head, but they intentionally drew Wee Huey to look like Simon Pegg, mm-hmm. right? And ideally, when that series first came out, if it had gone and gotten a movie, they would have totally gotten Simon Pegg to play Wee Huey. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he's too old to play a young man, but in the TV show, Simon Pegg does play Wee Huey's father, mm-hmm. which I thought was a really nice nod. Also, for people that aren't familiar with the series The Boys and how rough it can be, the series originally started at Wildstorm, which was at the time a DC imprint, and they got to like issue 6 or something having to do with a gerbil or a hamster. And DC was like, oh no, we are not going to continue this series. Mm. And then Dynamite Entertainment was like, yeah, we'll pick it up. Dynamite ran with it. They got the full rights to the series to even do the first couple of issues that DC had printed. Mm-hmm. And The Boys was a huge success. So I'm wondering if DC was like, oh man, we pulled the plug on this too soon. But I think Dynamite was like, yeah, do whatever you want, Garth Ennis. We'll continue to put these things out. And it was a great move for Dynamite.
Yeah, I think so. So well done, guys. And best of luck on season 2, because I cannot freaking wait for it. All right, before we get to our main topic today, I just want to at least make mention of the Spider-Man thing. It feels like it's been talked about to death over the last few days. Whether or not Spider-Man will remain in the MCU, a deal couldn't be reached between Sony and Disney, at least initially. All signs point to that still being the case. For whatever reason, in the back of my head, I just think there's too much money on the table and that they will find a way. But what's the latest and what's your take on whether or not Peter Parker, as we know him from the last two films, and all of his MCU showings is either gone or going to stay?
I don't know. I don't know if a decision can be reached. I think you have two very stubborn mega corporations that are at this point refusing to budge. And I think from Sony's standpoint, if they can make a $200 million dollar budgeted movie with their own dime, they will. And if Amy Pascal is as good as everyone claims she is, you know, the third Spider-Man movie could very much just be totally devoid of anything Marvel oriented. And if those of you who saw Spider-Man Far From Home saw the very, very ending, I really think that they could pull back quite a bit from, as one of my friends puts it, Tony Stark Jr., and make this third movie friendly neighborhood Spider-Man and deal with the repercussions of what happened in the second Spider-Man movie, and just make it a much smaller piece, but still make it exciting. I think they can do that without needing to bring in S.H.I.E.L.D. I think they can do that without bringing in Happy. Mm-hmm. I think they can do it without bringing in the rest of the Avengers into the movie. I think they can do it and really kind of show that they can tell a good Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. Same time, I kind of would like to see Spider-Man be an Avenger. I don't think that's going to happen for a very long time, because we know there's not an Avenger movie in the works, but knowing you know, some young heroes like Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, might need some guidance from a younger hero, that might be a good part for Tom Holland to play.
Yeah.
You know, that mentor Spider-Man.
You think you said something on another show. You think that this Disney's kind of bullied a little bit, or they have bullied Sony.
I think so.
Okay, and I think you're probably right.
Like, I mean, this, just keep in mind. I mean, Disney essentially owns 26% of Hollywood.
Yeah.
At this point, and that's a huge chunk.
It's a lot.
I mean, if you look at Disney's media empire, Marvel Studios, Lucasfilm, everything Disney oriented, now everything Fox oriented, including Predator, Aliens, The Simpsons, Avatar, Planet of the Apes, the list goes on and on and
the
on.
The Muppets.
Those are the Muppets. Yeah, yeah. They've owned the Muppets.
I guess they already had the Muppets.
That's a huge chunk of stuff.
Sure.
And Sony's just saying, hey, yeah, we appreciate that you guys want to provide input, and we were happy with the 5% deal that we had before, but now you're wanting half of that. And it's essentially, Scott, if you and I worked together on a project and it made a dollar, and under the old terms of the agreement, I was only taking a nickel, you'd be pretty happy with that. You're making a lot of money, especially on a movie that made $1 billion. Mm-hmm. But now I'm coming to you and saying, give me half of that. Mm-hmm. You're probably not going to be too happy from Sony's perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. And I think Sony probably rightly wants to, they don't want to just be treated like the redheaded stepchild, even though they haven't been great stewards of Spider-Man in recent years before this agreement. I think moving forward, I don't blame them for wanting to take a position of greater control and greater credit and greater everything and money. Of course.
Look at Venom, regardless of what you thought about the movie, and it is a crazy movie. It made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That has nothing to do with Marvel, and it did fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't do great in the box office, but it is the best Spider-Man movie you will ever see.
Straight up. No question. That thing rocks.
Yeah.
I want more of those. I wish they'd talk more about that.
We're going to get more of that.
Okay. Because that stuff's great. I don't want less. I want more of that. All right. Well, the Spider-Man thing, it goes on. We'll see how it goes.
In a month, you know, put it in the notes for next month. I bet it's going to change by next month.
All right. I kind of feel the same. One way or the other. I think we either have them coming up with some sort of agreement. It may only be that, you know, he's on loan to MCU when there's a story need. It may be full like it is now, where it's MCU across the board, or it may be nothing. But yeah, I think within 30 days, that deal is done. Now this.
Deep in the heart of the city, a clandestine meeting is held by the members of the deadly enemy, the Secret Empire.
All right, let's talk about Steven's discussion topic today, which is a very personal one for you.
Oh, yeah.
Explain what happened to you and why flooding sucks.
Okay, so let's talk, go back 13 years ago. My wife and I bought this house. Yeah. It had a problem with it in that, and we only found out after we bought the house and after the landscapers had come in and done everything, is that they didn't backfill the foundation correctly, meaning that you have to compact the soil and everything so that you don't have water running into the house. You know, the water needs to flow away from the house.
Right.
So we had an incident about 9 months after we bought the house where suddenly all the landscaping around the house just sunk. And the landscaper came out and said that he fixed it, but did explain what the situation was. And everything's been fine. Everything's been perfect since then. No problems whatsoever. In my basement, and the basement's completely furnished, I have what I affectionately call the nerd room of doom.
Yeah.
And that is where I have all my comic books. I had 60 long boxes full of comics. That's about 12,000 comics or something like that. Take 200 times 60. Mm-hmm. And that's about the number that I had. Trade paperbacks, statues, toys, unopened Lego sets, you know, just in there. And unfortunately, it had become, because of my busy schedule, it had become a hoarder's room. You could barely walk into the room. It was so full. And I'm talking about a big room. I mean, this is like a 15 by 20, maybe 20 by 25 sized room. Mm-hmm. It's a huge space, just full of stuff.
Yeah, all pop culture-y stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I mean, we're talking, you know, just imagine, and it's, you know, no need to worry about flooding in this house. It's a finished basement. So I've got all these comic book boxes stacked up on the floor, all the way up to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. It's all there.
Yeah.
So 2-3 weeks ago, we had a bunch of storms blow through.
Yeah.
70 plus mile per hour winds, torrential rain. In fact, I've been told that in the month of August, which is not done yet, we have hit 20 inches of rain in a month that only has 2 inches of rain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people here in town had a lot of damage to their homes. Fortunately, and I had gone on Finally Friday, another show that I did, and said, knock on wood, we didn't have any problems. There was no damage, nothing, no problems. So we were one of the lucky ones. Mm-hmm. And then Friday night, I was sitting in my office and I looked up and the drop ceiling, there was a water spot up there. And I was like, wait a minute. There are no pipes that run through this portion of the house. Why is there a water spot up there? And the only thing that I could figure out is that the rain came in so hard that it hit like the doorbell and some of the other outside electrical, and it just kind of ran down the electrical line mm-hmm. and dripped.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. But then I was like, wait a minute. That was over a week ago. I better go check out the other rooms in this basement. And again, the nerd room I rarely go into because it's so full of stuff and everything should be safe in there.
Right.
Went down the hallway, opened the door, instantly hit with the odor of high school gym locker room. That musty smell. And I was like, oh crap. I start wading through the stuff and I move some boxes and sure enough, I step down and it's wet.
Oh, man.
This is a week and a half later, Scott,
this
from
sucks
these storms.
So bad. Okay.
And
well, that's
so
why it's because you're starting to mildew cardboard boxes and paper and comics.
Yeah.
Potentially. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so I scream for the family. We all come down and we just, over the course of about 3 hours, empty that room. And on the plus side, the water didn't get too far into the room because all of the boxes soaked up all the liquid.
Oh my gosh.
So I, you know, imagine a row of long boxes, 10 long, 6 high. Okay. The bottom row just absorbed a lot of that water. Boxes of statues, you know, collectible figurines just absorbed that water. And I was pretty much resigned that I was going to lose my entire collection, or at least the bottom row.
Oh my Lord.
Now,
because that can stuff can side, spread, that can spread up to other levels too. It's like it wouldn't.
It can.
Yeah.
It can. On the plus side, I will give credit to a company called Drawer Boxes. These are a company that makes long boxes that kind of are supposed to be like a drawer system where you have an outside shell and then inside is your long box that you can pull in and out. They are rated to stack 6 high without collapsing. Now, realize, I don't know if I took a picture of one of them, but one of the boxes was severely, you could tell, compromised. It was kind of sticking out because it had swelled up so much. Mm. That entire system did not collapse. Oh, and we are very fortunate that that system didn't collapse because that would have been an even bigger disaster.
That's crazy. Wow.
We got everything out. I lost probably maybe 100 to 200 trade paperbacks and hardback collections, which is a loss by itself.
Yeah.
Because they did just soak up the water. And once a comic book gets wet or a book gets wet, you don't want to keep that stuff.
No.
Around.
I mean, even if you open it, I'm sure you've seen this, but I've had wet comics before and I'm like, oh mm-hmm. crap, what happened to this? You go to open it, pages are fused, colors all run through, yeah. like everything's jacked. It's awful.
Mildew growing on it or yeah. mold growing on it. You can't keep that stuff around. So yeah. lots of books just instantly having to go to the garbage.
Yeah, it's bad.
I was so worried because on my bottom row, I had some of my favorite series of all time. The Flash, Impulse, Legion of Superheroes, Robin, Batman were all the way that the thing had been organized were just happened to alphabetically fall on that bottom row.
Right.
And I was afraid that I was going to lose 1200 comics just that night.
Oh my Lord. Yeah.
Now the good thing is, as far as the comic books go, the trade paperbacks were just a loss. As far as comic books go, they were all bagged and boarded.
Mm-hmm.
So when you bag a comic, you put it in a Mylar bag and you seal it shut. The water never got high enough to go over the flap of the comic books.
Mm.
The boxes absorbed so much of the moisture that very little moisture got into the comics themselves. There was one box, probably the most damaged box, that my wife had to go through and just take a towel and wipe off the outside because it just felt a little damp.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't lose a single comic on those rows of comics that had soaked up all that water.
Wow. Lucky.
The statues that were in their boxes, they were in the boxes because I wanted to resell them. Because they were in their styrofoam packaging inside those boxes, and because there's desiccant inside those packages, didn't lose any statues. Lost right. the packaging for them, but didn't lose any of the statues.
Wow.
I was really super lucky not to have lost more than I did. And there's still stuff we're going through and there's stuff that we have to double check. And of course, we've got to get the carpet probably replaced and we've got to figure out how. I mean, I know how the water got in, but the water came in from behind the drywall and under. So I've got to see if that is mold issues that were in there. The guy said he didn't see any sign of mold inside the walls. There was one little spot that he just said, hit with bleach and you'll be fine.
Wow.
But a lot of people, and I know a lot of people right now listening, have not been so lucky,
mm-hmm.
where they have lost entire collections because a basement flooded with a foot of water. Or, you know, we probably got maybe a 16th of an inch that just, you know, got in, soaked up through the padding, then the carpet, then those boxes. But a lot of people aren't. And so one thing is, if your boxes are going to be sitting on the floor, make sure they're bagged and boarded. Right? Because as long as the plastic isn't compromised, your comics are going to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people, when I was messaging this out, said, Stephen, what about insurance? Hopefully you have good insurance.
That's my other question. Does home insurance have provisions for that kind of stuff? Because I know you can cover hardware, computers and hard drives and other things that are like that, but I've never thought about memorabilia. I assume that there's some equivalent to that for insurance.
There is, but it is super, super complicated because if you were going to say have a comic book collection, first of all, according to my insurance company and a couple of others that I've checked out, your comics have to be stored in very specific conditions, right? Humidity has to be set a certain way. The comics have to be stored in a certain condition and they're only going to insure you up to a certain amount, like maybe $3,000.
Right.
Which, you know, based on my collection now, I would probably sell. If anybody's interested in buying 12,000 comics for, you know, $5,000, I would let the entire collection go just for that right now. But it's not worth the millions that people are expecting. You know, there's some comics in that collection that are worth several hundred, maybe $1,000. But, you know, as a whole, most of that collection's worth less than a dollar. So that's part of it. If you're going with a traditional... like your homeowner's insurance company, whoever you have that through, they have to have somebody come out and inspect. You also have to have meticulous records on what is in your collection, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're someone who is buying comics on a weekly or monthly basis, your collection is going to constantly change. And so there's going to be some comics that aren't covered, some comics that are, until you update that list. And then they're going to have to send somebody out again. They're going to have to go through and grade all those comics. What are these comics worth? So then you're going to have to say, okay, yeah, this Robin number 5 is probably not worth anything. No point in going to send that off and getting graded. But maybe this first appearance of Bane, for example, maybe I do need to have to send it off to the comic book grading services. That's going to cost you money to do that too. So it becomes a huge pain in the butt to try to insure a collection under normal collectors. There's a type of insurance called collectibles insurance. And it's a super big pain in the butt. And every time I've tried to do it, it just seems like a daunting task that is ultimately not worth it because literally you have to have every single comic graded. And if you've got 100 comics, that may not be a big deal.
Yeah, 12,000 comics,
that's a big deal.
I was going to say, you got more than a comic store's worth of comics there. That seems untenable. Like you're not.
Yes.
To do
and
that.
Then of course, you know, the prices are going to fluctuate on this. So you may have a really good condition, Amazing Fantasy 15. Well, what if the price drops or what if the price rises? Then your insurance is going to have to adjust. It is very, very complicated. Now I have gone and found, some insurance that's out there. There's a company called collectinsurance.com that specifically, protects your original art, which thankfully all of that was well above any kind of water house. Cause I have a lot of original comic pages as well. But they will insure your collection and they, once they figure out an initial worth of your comic collection, which can take a little bit of time to do, basically you can add and subtract from your collection as you like, providing you're keeping records of what is currently in your collection and not in your collection. Some people have said maybe it's not a great company to work with. Others have said it's saved them. But I do know that the payout isn't going to be 100% of your collection. But there are companies out there. There's another one like American something. I forget what that is. There are companies out there that will insure your comic book collections. But if your stuff is just like generic stuff from the 80s, 90s and today, that's probably not going to be worth insuring. So the question you have to ask yourself is, am I okay with losing my comic book or my poster? I lost all of my movie posters. That was the one bad thing. Are you okay with losing that if it sits outside of your normal homeowner's insurance?
Right.
And you know, you're completely digital, Scott. So, I mean, I don't know if you have you know, like I have, there was a comic strip called, now I forget what it was, but essentially the guy was going to give up doing this comic strip. So he sold his entire collection of strips that he had hand drawn and then scanned in and put online. Mm-hmm. And I own 2/3 of that collection. Somebody else came in and snagged the first third of the series, but that's original art. If you had your original art, I would definitely want to insure that. Or original comic book pages. I would definitely want to insure those, but I'm not sure I want to insure my comic book collection that has, you know, Batman Dark Knight 2 in it.
Yeah, that you're saying these things as I'm darting my eyes around my studio here and I'm going, ooh, that's one of a kind. I got to, like I'm starting to see all the stuff. I have a limited edition Blizzard print thing. I have a skateboard with a bunch of signatures from the Diablo 3 team. They never made any more of these. Like stuff I would actually really be bummed out if I lost. Mm-hmm. And I've never, you don't think about it until something bad happens.
So some of that might be covered under your traditional homeowner's insurance. It would be very wise for everyone to, if you feel like you have something, like you have, you know, 6 scale figures, or you have statues, or you have, you know, original art, it would probably be in your best interest to contact your insurance company and tell them kind of what you have and whether that's covered under your regular homeowner's insurance, mm-hmm. or if you have to get a special rider for that other stuff, mm-hmm. and then figure out what needs to happen to ensure that that stuff is insured. Because sometimes the requirements to maintain the collection may be more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, this is good advice. I guarantee somebody listening to this has had some kind of loss like this, or at least had some sort of threat of this sort of loss. And
yes,
we nerds don't take our stuff seriously enough sometimes, I think, you know.
Some people do, and I'm sure there's a lot of people going, Stephen, I can't believe you had your comics sitting on the floor like that. They were in a box. They were half inch off the floor, quarter inch off the floor, however thick those drawer boxes are. But you might not even be thinking about that stuff, especially in a home that is supposed to be, quote unquote, protected from floods. But, you know, it could be a fire. I can't do anything if my house burns down, right? Why didn't I do anything to protect my stuff from being in a fire? Well, I can't take 12,000 comics and put them in a safety deposit box.
Right.
But I can tell you that there are some things that as we finish this room repair, we get the carpet replaced or whatever that needs to be happening. And once we make sure that there's no mold or mildew in the air and start putting things back into that room, I can tell you that there is one thing that we had already agreed on Friday night while we were cleaning out the room is we will be building a 2x4 platform that's going to sit on the floor. It's just like another floor, just 2x4 with some plywood on top of that. That will be the first layer of our floor for where the comics sit.
Right.
And so I'll make a, you know, 12 foot by 3 foot or whatever the width is. And that will be where all the comics sit all the way up to the top. So that if that way, if there's at least 3 inches of water in the room, those comics are going to be okay.
And you're not a fan of like a storage facility, right? Like
I actually just recently bought a storage facility because that nerd room is so packed. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy it, renting.
Yeah.
And so we were in the process of moving things out of that room to the storage facility to just clean out the room so we could start organizing, going through things and seeing what we wanted to keep and what we wanted to get rid of. This was supposed to be a multi-month process. Unfortunately, that was compressed into the span of a weekend. Oh. So, you know, I also, some people know that I'm a big fan of Lego. I have a lot of Lego sets. A lot of them were not opened yet. They were still in the box with the idea that some of these, because Lego does not depreciate in price over time, some of these are going to be worth a lot of money in the future. Some of them already are. My son found a box that was not damaged. And he's like, Dad, do we open this box and store it? And I was like, well, let's just look and see what it is on eBay. I paid probably less than $60 for this set back in 2005. Mm-hmm. It's already worth $700.
Oh, my.
So there's, you know, outside of the box, though, the price drops to like $100. Right. So there's worth in keeping your collections, statues, you know, toys, whatever in their original packaging, because it will be worth more to somebody in the future. But at the same time, I lost a bunch of the stuff because of the way it was being stored. So all the Lego stuff has now been moved offsite to our storage facility. You really shouldn't store comic books in storage sheds, especially if they're not climate controlled, because mold and mildew are going to grow. Paper products are going to absorb moisture from the air, depending on the humidity of your area. And that's just not a good thing.
Right.
So we have the storage facility where some of the statues are now being stored and where the Lego collection is now being stored, and we'll be moving some other stuff out there. But I'm not really a big fan of that, because you do have to, if you do have a storage facility, you're supposed to have separate insurance for that. Mm-hmm. Just in case, you know, a tornado or something, winds, fire, whatever, somebody breaks in and steals all your stuff. You do need insurance for that as well. So then again, that gets complicated. What are you storing in this shit? I'm storing all my collectibles there. Oh my God. They're just going to throw their hands up in the air and scream and hang up on you.
Yeah. Well, I would really like to hear other people's, I'm sure somebody's had stories like this or had things happen to them.
Oh yeah. I've heard stories where people have literally their basement flooded and they literally had to use shovels to get their comic book collection out and into the trash because it was just pulp.
Cause yeah, at that point you soak it enough, that's just goop. It's not paper anymore.
Yeah. Oh no. I was literally, I mean, some of these boxes, when we looked at them, it's surprising that they, number one, held up for as long as they did. And number two, didn't destroy the interior, because these things were a mess. In some cases I would pick up a box that had a statue in it and the paper would just come apart in my hands. That's, or, you know, the cardboard would just come apart in my hands because it was just so damaged.
It's just ridiculous, man.
Yeah. And you know, what do you do? I don't know. Maybe, and I've kind of come to grips with this actually before Friday night happened, I'd come to grips with, you know, if I lost everything, mm-hmm. I would be okay with it. I might have a little bit of, you know, oh, I can't believe I lost this in that fire or flood or whatever. But ultimately, I kind of just realized that I got my money's worth out of those products when I originally bought them. When I read the comic, I got my money's worth and I enjoyed it and I loved it and I did like collecting, but that's just my, you know, personal weirdness is collecting. But I would be okay if all that stuff just was gone.
It's weird. I don't know if it's more than you or less than you, but I lean pretty digital these days with almost everything I've got. Too. And that's comics and movies and television and everything. Like, I just don't, buy CDs. I don't, you know, it's all digital. It's subscription services or digital files. And I kind of got there naturally. It wasn't overnight, but I just found myself here. And I think one of the benefits for me has been, now I don't have to worry about me hoarding over it. Cause I would, if I had the physical thing still, I would still be keeping all those old DVDs. I would still be keeping all these movies. It's been weirdly freeing. Now, some people may say, well, now you don't really have anything for your money. You just have a license to watch a thing. And who knows if that always stays around or to read a thing.
Yeah, but we're not going to stay around forever.
No, we're not. It's great because the ephemeral nature of all of this, I think, is good once in a while to face that and just acknowledge it. And
yeah,
at the end of the day, you know, that room of yours could just burn down and it would suck and you wouldn't be thrilled about it. But it's probably okay. You know,
we move on, right?
Yeah, you move on. There's more stuff to get. There's more stuff to see and read and have. And your family is safe. And, you know, like all the important stuff's there. So it's good.
And you're right. A lot of that stuff, a lot of the comics are digital now. I can go in and read that stuff whenever I want. Now, people are going to take this wrong. I love Tom Merritt. Tom Merritt is an awesome, awesome, awesome person.
Yep.
But whenever you guys are doing Good Day Internet or the Daily Tech News show, and you guys mention something from high school, and he's like, look, I've got my grade card from third grade right here. And he just whips it out. I'm just like, oh my God, Tom, what are you doing?
All right.
He's just, you know, he's just got all this stuff that is really weird. And, you know, I'm also kind of that way, but all of mine is in a separate room, not right at my desk.
Right.
But I've kind of, come to this realization that all this stuff is fleeting. It is all ephemeral. And if it all goes away, I'm still okay.
Yeah.
And I will survive.
Yeah. That's how you have to do it.
Yep. But if anybody wants to buy 12,000 comics, I'm not going to sell them individually, but if someone wants to buy 12,000 comics for $5,000, hit me up.
Yeah. He's ready to sell. I mean, would you, if somebody came to you and just said, hey, or here's $3,000, give me all of it, would you do it? That's pretty low. Maybe
it is pretty low. I mean, for the entire comic book collection, I probably really couldn't go lower than 4,500. Really,
that's still pretty good.
That's a good deal, because I know that there's some Flash comics that are in that collection that are $700 just by themselves.
Yeah, yeah, I think that would be all right. But there is something to be said for lowballing it just to get it out of here. You know,
believe me, we have done that quite a bit. Yeah. We have done that quite a bit at our house, where it's just like, if we can sell this through the Facebook, you know, sales space or whatever that is, and we can get like $20 out of it, let's just sell it for $20, even though we could probably get $100 out of it. It's just, let's get it out of the house.
Yeah, I feel like this whole conversation is making me want to de-junk a little bit, so.
I know, and I really think people should. I really think people should. And unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. My wife and I went through the whole Marie Kondo thing. Like, does this bring me joy? And we got rid of so much stuff and we have so much more joy that it's out of our lives.
Did you find yourself trying to talk yourself into something giving you joy though? While you were
doing
it?
And actually before we would run into her philosophy, I was going through my office and I would pick up something and says, have I used this in the last 5 years? Mm. I haven't. It's going in the trash or it's going into a sale bin or whatever it may be. So I kind of was approaching that space about 3 years ago. Before she even came on the scene. But I just think decluttering our lives is maybe a lot better. And I say that as somebody who has an entire room called the Nerd Room of Doom full of collectibles. Now that stuff's all out in the main space, but I mean, still. Yeah,
sure. No,
I have a problem.
Hey, look, the first thing is to admit you have one. You're good.
Yep.
We're gonna have our own little support group going here. All right. Well, I hope that helps somebody out there with the stuff they're dealing with that sort of thing, because what a pain in the butt. And I'm glad that that the flooding wasn't too terrible, because that would have really
sucked. We don't know if it's been solved yet. We're hoping it will in the next 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll have the problem fixed.
Well, next month we'll have another episode of this show and that'll help people with something then. We don't know what, but read a bunch of comics. Tell us what you're loving, what you're reading. ComicDorks@gmail.com. You can visit the website ComicDorks.com. We are on Twitter @ComicDorks. You can also find Steven at Major Spoilers. Find me at Scott Johnson. And more cool stuff like this at frogpants.com and, of course, MajorSpoilers.com. I think that's going to do it. Steven, a wise word as we leave. Anything?
Read more comics.
Read more comics. We'll see you next month. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. Man, like, you guys went there? Like, woo!